Welcome back, and we're here for our final presentation for this evening. We have the Zoning Hearing Board with us, and I will turn the floor over to them. Please introduce yourselves, and the floor is yours.
Marty Trumpler, a member of the Zoning Board.
Chirag Girawa, I'm the chairperson.
I'm Jonathan Garzillo, vice chair.
Good evening, members of the Board of Supervisors, Township Manager, and Zoning Hearing Board members, and everyone else present here today. I stand before you today to present the annual summary of the Upper Marion Township Zoning Hearing Board activities for the calendar year 2025. To provide a clear picture of our workload this year, I would like to share our 2025 scorecard. The board held active hearing sessions on at least 10 separate occasions throughout the year, sticking to our schedule of the first and third Wednesday of each month. In total, the board managed 14 distinct applications during the calendar year 2025. One of the most important aspects of our work is balance. Out of the numerous applications we heard this year, our decisions were split between approvals with conditions, straight approvals, and necessary denials. The breakdown of our decisions is as follows. 10 applications were approved. These were cases where the applicant successfully demonstrated a legal hardship or met the specific criteria for special exception. Notable approvals included the new daycare facility on Schaefer Road and the new car dealership in the shopping center, the mall. 3 applications were denied. Denials are never easy, but they are necessary when a request contradicts our comprehensive plan or fails to meet the legal standards for a variance. This year, we denied 3 residential requests where the proposed encroachments were deemed too significant for the surrounding neighborhood. For example, during our February 19th session, the board was tasked with a difficult decision regarding a residential deck at North Prince Frederick Street. While we are always strive to support homeowners' improvements, we ultimately had to deny that specific request because it did not meet the legal threshold for hardship and would have encroached significantly into the required side yard. One application was withdrawn. In case of Savita Health on Flint Lock Road, the applicant chose to withdraw the request. Moving beyond the numbers, 2025 saw a fascinating shift in the types of requests coming before us. Early in the year, our focus was almost entirely on residential density, homeowners looking to expand their footprints through decks and additions. However, by midsummer, we transitioned into unique lifestyle zoning requests. We spent a significant amount of time deliberating on special exceptions for residential chickens on West Valley Forge Road and Mellard Road. Cases like these may seem small compared to multi-million dollar developments, but they are the heartbeat of our community. They represent the changing lifestyles of our residents and require us to interpret our code in ways that accommodate modern trends while respecting the traditional exceptions of a suburban neighborhood. On the commercial side, on June 18th session was a landmark evening. We heard testimony regarding the Rivian dealership at 160 North Golf Road. This case required us to look closely at the shopping center district regulations, traffic flow, and how such a business integrates into our commercial corridor. Each of these cases required hours of testimony, expert witnesses, and most importantly, public comment. I want to thank the residents who came to Freedom Hall throughout 2025. Their voices provided the local context that the law sometimes misses. None of this work happens in a vacuum. It requires collaboration from the entire board. I want to publicly recognize the members of 2025 Zoning Hearing Board. Former board member and chairperson John Talaman, myself Chiragi Rawal, I served as a vice chair, Secretary M. Jonathan Garzillo, members Mark DePillis and Vivian Pekin, they're not here today, and our current member, Marty Trumpler. Our board is also supported by the tireless work of our chief building and zoning official, Mark Zadroga, and the Board of Supervisors liaison, Greg Phillips. Their guidance ensures that the Zoning Hearing Board remains aligned with the broader strategy goals of the township. Lastly, huge thanks to our legal counsel, Mark Jonas, whose expertise ensures our decisions stand up to the highest levels of judicial scrutiny. As we close the book on 2025, several themes emerged that I believe the Board of Supervisors should keep in mind for future policy discussions. We're seeing an increase in requests for accessory structures and aging-in-place modifications. As our population matures, our zoning code may need to be looked through the lens of accessibility and flexibility for multi-generational housing. Furthermore, as the King of Prussia Mall area continues to densify, the Zoning Hearing Board anticipates more mixed-use challenges. We remain ready to handle these with the same level of scrutiny and fairness that we applied throughout 2025. In conclusion, the Upper Merion Zoning Hearing Board had a productive, challenging, and successful 2025. We look forward to continuing this partnership with the Board of Supervisors to ensure that Upper Merion remains the best place in Montgomery County to live, work, and do business. Thank you. You guys have any questions?
I appreciated the format of your presentation. This is a little, it's a change from what we usually hear from the Zoning Hearing Board, more static, just statistical kind of information. So I really appreciated, it was more anecdotal, that it gave us a flavor of what you're presented with. And I especially appreciated your suggestions at the end about what you're recognizing as future potential zoning issues that we're going to be faced with and what we should consider for maybe some zoning ordinance changes. So thank you for pulling that together. But thank you very much for that presentation that I appreciated hearing the individual cases and what you've been up against and the breakdown of what you've seen, the 3 denials, 1 withdrawal, and the 10 approvals. So, yes, thank you very much for that. I don't know if Greg, if with being the liaison.
No, I really enjoyed the presentation. Yeah. It was so much different than what we have
typically
gotten in the past.
Yep.
So
yes.
It was
refreshing.
Yeah. Yes. As it was. Yeah. I will just say that each member of the board, they really do their homework, led by, you know, the legal counsel that they have, Mark Jonas, who's one of the best in the business. We are very fortunate to have him and Eastburn and Gray as the zoning board solicitors that help them kind of get through. And I know that Mark does a lot of work to kind of review an application and give them sort of the parameters of what they're looking at and what they should be looking at. But every one of them is astute enough to understand the difference between here's the letter of the law and here's the practical effect of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what you see a lot with some of the residential, accessory structures. And Shiragi is absolutely correct that, and we've seen this even as board members, tiny houses, mm-hmm. In-law suites, all those types of things that are coming down the pike that are kind of more advantageous to developers and to people who are living because it's cheaper to kind of go in that direction and it makes sense to have mom in the same house even though it's totally separate. We've always struggled for the last 14 years that I've been on the board, from B&Bs on Gypsy Lane to the Airbnbs, and then even the in-law suites in some of our residents. So they do a real yeoman's job to kind of get through those applications.
Yeah. I'm going to comment.
Can you add something? Any of you?
I have a fantastic presentation. You're absolutely right. Only that we are going to reiterate thanks to Mark Zadroga and Mark Jonas. And we could not do our work without them. And to point out, because the number of members of the board at each hearing is pretty critical, we really could use a
an alternate.
And I know, I know the board knows that, it's, this is the forum to mention it again. It's pretty imperative that sometimes it brings a, it makes doing our work a challenge if a board member is not present in the absence of having an alternate to the board.
Are we currently advertising for an alternate?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because I know we've always had one, unless, you know, someone left or died. We've always had one, so it's, we haven't been getting any applications for that?
Not for, not for ZHB we do?
For ZHB.
One or two that came in, I'd have to check with Kathy, but I think it's because.
Well, then we should absolutely interview them as soon as possible then.
Absolutely.
And zoning hearing board is a unique board that with being quasi judicial, that you want to make sure that you have the right members on the board that have the sophistication of understanding what they're ruling on. So, yes, you just can't randomly assign someone to this, appoint someone to this board that, you know.
And I would just say this, and I know I've talked with Dawn about this, but we as a board probably need to do more in the way of PSAs. I think we heard that earlier in some of the presentations about, you know, kind of getting out there with some things on how things work, right? Planning commission was one of those.
Yes.
Zoning board is another one. Most of the pro se applicants, meaning dad gets up, wants to put an addition or build a shed on his property, you know, goes to Mark, Mark tells him to fill out the application, but that's it. There's no understanding of, well, okay, now you're in front of this board, what does that, what does that mean? And as a zoning solicitor myself, it's just very, it's tough to watch those folks struggle because it's not their job to kind of teach them the ropes, right? To walk them through the application. It's really the applicant's burden, and the case law shows that. So it would behoove us to kind of put a program together, even if it's just, you know, broken down into here's the application, how to fill it out, here's what you need to prove, here's the five steps, all that good stuff.
Yeah, even a handout kind of situation would be helpful at that point when they're coming in and doing the process.
There were two things for zoning that we probably should mention to you. This past week, we spent a lot of time with our peers from around the state. And there were two zoning-related issues at the state level that don't seem to be getting a lot of traction, but they are there, and you need to be concerned about them, or we need to be concerned about them. And the first is one that you mentioned, which is supplemental housing or additional housing or however you want to phrase that term. The state last year did introduce legislation in both the House and the Senate to take control of all of that, taking it away from local government completely. Now, PSETS, the Supervisors Association of Pennsylvania, has been fighting that. We adopted a resolution, and that resolution was reaffirmed Tuesday of this week, that we oppose that because those types of zoning issues should be kept local. So that's one. The next one that is moving forward is related to data centers, where the state wants to take total control of all zoning related to data centers. Again, a resolution was passed that opposes that. Another resolution was passed with some strict controls on that. While it doesn't appear that they would move, you never know what will happen in the sign and die session. That's going to happen in about 3 months. So we just have to keep monitoring that to make sure that they don't sneak something in on us. But that's a fear, because you do great work in analyzing each parcel and each application that's submitted to you, and to have someone that sits 90 miles away and say arbitrarily, no, this is going to apply to everyone in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it ain't right. So we're fighting that, but just so you know, that's out there. And you know, every time we see our legislators, we're continuing to remind them that we don't like that. Our legislators, our state rep and state senator, were not part of the, we're not part of the group that was the original sign-on for the bills, but everybody around us was, particularly to the north of us. So just something to keep on your radar.
Has the ordinance dealing with data centers, I think it's been passed.
In March.
Yes.
Is that now actually on the website in the wording of all the stuff? Has that been added?
It should be.
Should be.
Should be.
To look at the wording on that.
Yep, it should be.
We just sent it to general code, so it will be updated. Since this is one of the ones we want to get, we usually wait to get a couple. We send it right to general code. I will double check tomorrow if they posted it.
If you take data centers in the search box, it does show up.
It does show up.
We actually checked today because we were messing with the website,
yeah,
and
right,
I
yes.
typed it in, and it was the first thing that came up. So if you type it in, you'll
find it. And also have the understanding that we don't feel that our ordinance is the final draft. That we want to add some things. We wanted to get something on the books as quickly as we could, but there are some other items that we'd like to address in the ordinance. One would be decommissioning. That's a primary thing that we didn't have time to work on the language and what that exactly entailed, but that will be added to the ordinance. So we're continuing discussion about the ordinance. And then
emergency action plan. Even though it's required within the code, we wanted it strengthened by being in the zoning. It's in the fire code, but it's not in the zoning code. So we wanted to strengthen that in our zoning code. And there was one other one, too, that was...
What is emergency action plan?
It's a plan that basically says if something happens, if there's some emergent event,
fire,
water leaks,
or
yeah, whatever it is, that there is a plan in place and how that gets executed to either stop the fire.
It even goes so far as saying that who your tow operator is going to be if you have to move cars and who your electrician is. So if something happens, you'd simply go to this plan and you have all of your vendors identified in there so that someone can start calling them and saying, I need an electrician, I need a plumber, I need this, I need that, in the event of an emergency. And for a data center, it's critical, particularly for water supply, electrical.
Yeah.
And have that all planned out ahead of time is critical.
And part of the problem is our codes are always, our fire and building code are always one rendition or one cycle
behind
what's existing. So for instance, today, a code was passed this past week for 2026. Pennsylvania won't adopt that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll still be operating on the 2015 code. And as a result, a lot of these things won't get accomplished.
Well, we should be on the 2018 code at this point.
We just did that.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. But the state adopted 2018
3
years ago. But you're right. They won't get to. We're always, the code itself that the state is adopting is always a minimum 3 years behind.
Right. Oh. The one that I'm referring to, which is 788, is actually 10 years old.
Yeah.
That's why I said 10 years.
Are possibly at some point some aspects of these data centers should get that far and wind up in front of our zoning hearing board?
Maybe.
There may be some aspects.
Yep.
Yeah. So put on your black robes.
Okay.
100 wigs.
It will probably be a packed room when those come forward.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bulletproof vests.
Keep doing that great analytical work that you do to dig down and.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Anything else from anyone?
You took what I was going to say exactly about this is a living document, the data center ordinance.
All
right,
our ordinance.
But from the
also,
zoning
but,
board's
yeah.
perspective, they have to live with what they
what's,
have.
What's, yeah,
okay.
yes.
Because
yes,
they're, as a judicial body, they have to interpret the code as
it's
passed.
Yeah.
Now, we'll make changes and we should constantly revise our, because they are living and we living, breathing documents, and we should be keeping up with the times. And we, I would say, in probably in the last 3 years, we've made great strides to that, especially now having Jared Lash on board. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're leaders in the county with, adding new, revising existing. So, try to be at least. Anything else from the ZHB members? Thank you for what you do and how you handle the cases and the intelligence you put into making your decisions.
Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
And you so far have not lost any
appeals.
Yeah.
You still
yeah.
hold your. You still
I'm
hold
defeated
your.
On appeal.
Yes.
It's
wow.
good.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
So that means
and
you're doing our job.
That's the pudding.
Yes,
correct.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at this juncture then, we will wrap up this evening's presentations, and we will be reconvening in May 21st for the third of the series of three with our citizen board members, authorities, and commissions. So thank you, everyone who's been paying attention.